At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
In 5, 4, 3. Hey guys, how's it going? I'm Nick Campbell. With me always is my buddy
David Steele.
And we are
Rhythm and Wit.
All right, we're here. We're doing it. We're doing a thing. Today we're interviewing Queen Versus,
yay,
the podcast.
Oh, welcome.
My God, how exciting.
With India Naomi. And
welcome.
Olivia Lyken.
Yeah, that is I. Yes.
You're doing great. Thanks for coming. Thanks for saying what's up. We're very happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Absolutely. You got us up here at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Just doing
the Lord's
you
work.
Getting ready. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
A lady was walking down the street. I guess she was getting ready to get to her job, and she just gave me a look. She kept walking. She's trying her business.
It's early. But yeah, I listened to a few, just like the Christmas podcast, kind of looked over some
like
of
the
your
most recent one,
your
right?
Clips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I listened to that one.
Love your guys' podcast, just how you guys talk so well together.
Yeah, very
and
good.
And fill the space. I always feel like I have a hard time, especially up front. I'm trying to do it right now. But but filling the space and giving context. You're so friendly and good characters with each other. It's like nice to hear.
We try.
Yeah.
I've known this girl. I've known for a long time.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask.
Doing drag together.
When did y'all meet? How long have you known each other?
Sounds like it was
like
tough.
Three or four years.
Okay.
Three or four years ago. Yeah, we started an open silent together, mm-hmm. and I knew right from the start that I hated her.
Do we cuss on this podcast?
Yeah.
This bitch walked in. She was wearing a butterfly bodysuit with wings on it and a hard front purple, neon purple wig. And
yes.
I said, who is this?
Yes.
And
she rolled in a wheelchair. And I was like, all drag is valid, I guess. And then she stood up and I was like, now wait a minute.
The audacity to wear a hard front wig and tell me all drag is valid is crazy.
So how did you get into it? How did you get started?
I grew up real conservative. I wasn't exposed to any queer media, except we talked about this the other day. There's a film called First Sunday. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a Tyler Perry film or
no?
It's not affiliated. No. So it's just like these two men go and they rob a church,
mm-hmm.
right? But it had Jesus in it to some degree. So we were allowed to watch it as a kid.
Okay.
And there was a drag queen in it. I didn't know at the time. She was Jazz Masters from season 7 of RuPaul's Drag
yes.
Race.
Oh, okay.
But she was in that before she was famous.
Mm-hmm.
That was my I didn't even know. I had already been exposed to drag a little bit. So I saw, you know, bits and pieces where you could. Medea, you know, sometimes because
mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry's, you know, Christian or whatever.
Yeah.
And then in high school, I ended up watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
Season 7, which mm-hmm. Jazz Masters was on. And I loved it because I was terrified of queer media, queer culture,
because
it was just something
because
it was
like your family telling you not to.
Absolutely, yeah. So I watched that, and then there was a place on the strip you can get in as a underage person. Mm-hmm. You get it at 17 years
is
old.
Is it? Was it the Rec Room?
It was. Yeah, the Rec Room.
That was my our first club, I'm sure, when we were underage, too. Yeah.
And I went to the show, and it was bad. And then here we are. I was hooked after that.
Yeah. What is it that got you hooked? What was it?
Yeah.
I just had fun, and I've always enjoyed like feminine things. Mm-hmm. I loved a Littlest Pet Shop. I was never allowed to have it as a kid. I always loved wearing my grandma's heels and just, you know, feeling the fantasy. So finding out that you can do that anytime you want is kind of, you know,
So you got into it, you started doing that. When did you start producing your own shows?
We're almost doing Boom Roasted is my show I do in Stillwater. Mm-hmm. That's like the show that I started hosting. We're on our fourth year in February. That'll be our fourth year anniversary.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Whoa, that's crazy. Yeah.
So I guess 4 years ago in February.
Yeah, that's great. So that's a long time.
How did you get started?
I used to be a dancer in high school. Uh-huh. And so I used to be in color guard, and I used to be in the marching band, played instruments. So I was used to performing on a very large stage or platform. Mm-hmm. And then after I graduated, I just got the itch, and I was like, I miss performing. And some girl that I had met, she was like, have you ever tried drag? And I was like, no, I'm not that gay.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I think you'll be really good at it. And there's this place, this bar called Frankie's. Uh-huh. They were doing open talent. She was like, well, just try it once. And so I bought my very first wig, which is that purple heart front. And I threw on an eyeshadow, literally just smudged it. It was rough. Yeah. It was rough, but I fell in love with it from then on, and then ever since. And then I met this one, and then
begrudgingly,
it was great. It's been great. Like, I love it, and I mean, it's gonna take me far, I think. I mean, so far,
she got a grip on my coattail. She's holding on to it for dear life.
I'm holding on that thread.
Hey, that's what I'm doing with him. You see all this stuff? This wouldn't happen without Dave. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, but you're doing the comedy. That it's for us is very symbiotic.
You're right. I am better. So
because without the comedy, without the comedians, the performers, and there is no show either.
Without him, there is.
But there's something about drag that I'm straight. You know, obviously, just. From an outside perspective, I've always loved drag shows. I've started going, maybe, I don't know that I ever saw one at the Rec. I mean, we must have at one point, but we just went there and just listened to music and the DJs and, you know, did other stuff.
Ecstasy.
Your Gatorade and chips.
For me, it was the Hilo Club. Every Friday night, they had drag. Mm-hmm. That was my bar. We hung out there every night of the week, you know, back in the day, just about. But Friday nights, obviously, drag shows, but I loved it. I don't know why it was. Like I said, I was telling him earlier, it's I've always been fascinated with drag shows. I've known many drag queens, had friends, you know what I mean, been around the culture enough, but it's I'm not, you know, in the culture necessarily. But for whatever reason, but for me, it's the performance. Mm-hmm. It's it's just the, because I am a performer. I'm a musician, perform on stage, but I love it. That's similar to comedy. It's that's a performance. That's what's drawn. Those are the links in my mind to all those things. So, yeah, it's great to get to talk to you guys and hopefully dive in some more into that.
He pointed the guys in your. He said, "Guys, to you,
that's okay. It's the shoulders,
shoulders, how are we?" Yeah,
but we love the performance aspect. Yeah. Same here. Just the engaging freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you
just
see,
it's very creative. Obviously,
I love costumes together and all there. That. People ask me if I do because. I do stand up, and mm-hmm. they're like, come to our show or whatever, or an open talent or something, mm-hmm. just to come do an open mic. And they're like, you can just do it out of drag. And I feel like I have the liberty to do the things I want to do just out as a boy. Because when I do this, what are you going to, tell me no? No. You're not going to tell me I can't. You can't tell me I can't say that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people will come on, we do TikTok Live a lot, and mm-hmm. people will come on and say hateful things, but it's easier mm-hmm. to handle criticism because they're criticizing a character.
Right.
This is not me who I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's, armor. Mm-hmm. So it is free. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. So you can hateful. Express
I do think,
yeah. yourself a little bit more physically or out there. I mean, when you're engaging with the crowd like that and you're bringing almost bringing people up to the stage.
Yeah.
Emotionally. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel I'm up there when yeah. whenever you're dancing, lip syncing.
It sucks you in.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
Yeah. I thought about that, too, while I'm on stage. Like, I've always liked to, you know, find interesting costumes, but like clothes that I wouldn't normally wear mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. But it's like when you're on stage, what, like you said, you know, you're on stage. It's like you're there to be the show entertainment.
Yeah.
So it's like you can wear whatever you want. Nobody's can even, you know, and obviously you can wear whatever you want anytime. You should be able to, but it's like in your mind, it's like it makes it okay that you yeah. can do this.
When did you find that first freedom?
You felt real free coming in there in a butterfly bodysuit and a hard front wig.
I sure. Well,
is it a little scary sometimes?
It
too?
Was a mm-hmm. yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, almost every time. Mm-hmm. Almost, at least for me.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
It's almost like every time it's just a rush of adrenaline, but something, me personally, something just clicks. And I go into a full autopilot and it's nice to have like almost like an outer body experience of watching myself have fun and because it's genuinely me having fun, the audience will more than they respond with that, and then they can tell when you're like fishing for dollars or you know, trying too hard and then it's like give it up. But it's just that's normally how it just goes for me. I think it just, you know, great. Just switches on.
You can tell when India gets in the zone. You'll look at her and her eyes will just glaze over.
Yeah.
And she don't know who you are. Yeah. She don't recognize you because she's just shaking a thigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The president of the United States could walk in and she's just going to shake her thigh. She's going to recognize.
That's it. Awesome. I love that. So you both do a lot of TikTok.
Yeah.
Live productions, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And live podcasts. I wanted to talk to you about how TikTok may be ending, as well as at the time you're monetizing that right now.
Yeah.
You know, how does that affect you, and how do you get the monetization? Let's start there.
I'm still trying
to figure out the credits, the coin system.
Yeah,
The currency is throwing me for a loop. So I was never great with numbers. So
whenever it's time for her to get her paycheck, though, she will be good with numbers. She got a calculator out. She got a little hat on. She's typing away.
16 hours this week. $12.
Absolutely.
No, so TikTok liked us, I guess. They gave us early access to live streaming.
Okay.
We just have 1,000 followers first, and we got it. But we had like just started our TikTok channel, and we had access to it. And as soon as you go live, you have access to monetization. People can send you gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do, like, we got access to a subscription service as well, so people can, like, kind of like Patreon.
Subscribe $5 a month or whatever. Yeah.
But that's really fun. They also take a huge portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
how much?
50% of the gifts.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And then 50% of the subscription plus like a 35% like transaction fee goes to whatever service provider they use. Mm-hmm. And then to cash out, PayPal takes like a 3% fee as well. So by the time we get the money, it's like been touched by everyone.
So it's like the government.
We haven't paid taxes on it yet.
That's
coming up.
Yeah,
we gotta pay that as well.
Yeah, we have to.
After.
So it's not
the government
lucrative yet.
But
we're still
we were talking about this a little earlier, but it's like it's something. I mean, like you said, it shouldn't be all that. you should definitely, we should be getting paid more of our, what we actually earn. But I mean, right now, I don't think we've made a single cent off of this channel. So, I mean, and we've been doing it over a year, and it's like, you know, and I want to get to some point where obviously you get enough followers or viewers, you can be like, okay, go to a business and give, you know, get more money from that way, sponsorships.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm aiming, you know, hopefully in the next year or so, start talking to some people about that. But there are other ways, like, and the subscription thing I love, because like I said, I've been watching Twitch streamers and YouTubers for many years. And so it's like, I know how that works for the people that actually earn a living doing YouTube and Twitch. And it's with people giving $5 a month, you know, or more.
Right.
And then of course with the like gifts, like you said, like, here's like super chats on YouTube or Twitch. What do they call on Twitch? Bits and stuff like that.
I don't really watch Twitch that often.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, people donating while you're live. It's like you can make a living off of this stuff.
It also plays into us, our culture, a lot, because drag queens work.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
It just feels right. It feels natural. Mm-hmm.
So you kind of combine that with what you're doing with the outside, like your shows.
Yeah. And, do you do a lot of promotions like at your live shows?
Oh, we talk about that all the time.
Sometimes, because I
do other college shows with OSU.
Yeah.
So I have the auditorium just take out their phones and just follow us.
Yeah.
And I'll just wait until they're done.
Absolutely.
So I liked, because we're in a unique position to have, you know, active following of people who just know us from the shows we do, coupled with people who never met us online. So it's just, you know, combining them together to, you know,
make
create
a bigger community.
Building a community, too. Yeah. Building up a community.
Yeah.
Helping it be seen.
That's something, too, I thought about. I mean, I should be better. I'm fairly good about knowing who's doing podcasts around in Oklahoma City, right? Like, but I don't know. Are there any other like podcasters that you know or have heard of that do anything like you do? I mean, with either queer or drag or anything like that?
Soon, certainly. There'll probably be 30 of them after we finish up.
For sure.
I think what I'm getting at is I think you're probably the only one that, in Oklahoma that's doing like a queer focused podcast at all.
That's how she closes it after every recording. She's like, maybe nobody's doing what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she's absolutely awesome. Correct.
Mm-hmm. We are what Nicki Minaj called the pink print.
The pink print. Yeah.
It's like a blueprint, but
So everyone's gonna come after you, like you were saying.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah.
I like how you circle back a little bit. You said something about raising awareness for the community. And also, drag queens aren't this smart normally. I just want to make that very known. This is an anomaly.
Yeah.
Well informed, articulate. Mm-hmm. Maybe no. These people out here in that street are crazy.
Yeah.
They're good people, but they're not out there.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to listen to them talk. Don't give them a mic. Hey,
people love to ask, can we be on your podcast? Are you well informed?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about
it? Yeah, where are your credentials?
Yeah. We're very political. Yeah. And I already, Andy gets fact checked four or five times.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Even she talked about corn dogs at Sam's, and I said, Robert, pull up the fucking fact check sheet.
Pull up the nutrition chart.
Yeah. No. Like, oh, yeah. Y'all will never guess, but they don't sell corn dogs at the Sam's. Yeah. She made that up.
Yeah. Oh, really?
She just lied to our guests.
So you guys,
I was
like,
about to go. I can't believe you just did that to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you say it very confidently, then odds are nobody will second guess you.
I got corn dogs at
Sam's.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys make sure you're not putting anything out that's incorrect, that you don't, you know, you might say something, you're like, wait, was that correct? And you go back and check it before you put out the episode.
We have to, because I'm so vocal about just misinformation and how that's how we got to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure that I'm not a hypocrite in everything that I do. Yeah. I cannot be the thing that I swear to fight against. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's got to be kind of tedious, though, to stay on top of it all the time.
Certainly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that helps your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Right, honestly. Absolutely. Or there are times, like, even mid-recording, it's like 5 to 10 minutes of, like, awkward silence because we're like,
I'd be looking at it.
Yeah. Just like scrolling, like, okay, let's make sure. Okay, cool. Yeah.
And y'all are like, talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Oh, and just getting into the habit of like getting used to the like, awkward silence, even though, so that we are, you know, not having to give Robert a hard time by like trying to fill the empty space. And he's like, I'm going to go in and cut.
Yeah,
and like that.
That makes sense. Because that's what I was just thought of. But does Robert do all the editing and stuff like that for you guys?
Yeah, yes, bless his soul. Yes, bless his soul.
He is over there.
We're
talking about it. Yeah. If you want to say, hey, come through, you're more than welcome. Again, like I said, just come and poke your head.
Yeah, he's been known to crawl under, so we might see him. Yeah.
Just like, he gets low.
Yeah,
he will get low.
That's great.
But yeah, no, I wish I had a Robert because, yeah, I got to do all that stuff.
God, me too.
And
me too.
Like, she does.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work trying to edit. I mean, editing is a nightmare when it gets into it, when you have to do a lot. That's why this is my new setup. I don't edit this anymore, really. I mean, I do, you know, beginning and the end, and if I have to cut something out, I would go in and do it, but it's like mostly this is the episode because I'm just recording. I can change the cameras live if I want to. But it's pretty nice setup because and like I said, I had to because I used to do it, edit each episode. I would have four cameras or whatever it was and then go in and sync those all up, then cut them, and it took hours and hours. So this is you got to figure out the...
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
What works the best, or if you have other people that can help, that's always huge.
Yeah.
He's going to teach us how to do it eventually.
Yeah.
That's when he finally convinces us to do it with him.
Why would you do that? You're going to get rid of your job.
He's tired.
He's like,
I'm going on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
He listens to these episodes like four times. He listens to them while we record it. Mm-hmm. He edits it, listens to it. Or he listens to the raw audio.
Yeah.
Then he edits it, and then we listen to the completed audio before we publish it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So he's a super fan, really.
Yeah.
Do you like the podcast?
You can be honest.
I don't want to look over my... Is he shaking his head now?
Yeah. It's good that you didn't look. So how do you pick who goes on your pods, then, when you do have people?
Yeah, do
We've
you
not
have a
done
lot of guests?
Guests yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, do you ever have a plan to maybe bring some people up? Or
I think so.
At some point.
Eventually, we want to have, you know... community guests and stuff.
Yes.
Kamala Harris, perhaps.
Yeah.
Y'all know the I've Had It podcast does. The Nichols Hills are just rich ladies from Nichols Hills.
Oh, okay.
They're
them.
Based in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. She was on their podcast.
Oh, and, okay.
They do a lot of celebrities.
Yeah.
And oh, that's cool.
I want to talk with them real bad. But they ignore us.
Yeah.
So they had Kamala Harris on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did they talk about?
They're very anti-Trump a lot. So they just talk about a lot of like their political views and like obviously supporting her. They're two, you know, self-made women. Mm-hmm. So they obviously wanted to see succeed. So
yeah,
wow. Just, you know, talking shit and having a good time.
You might. What was it called again? I'm gonna look this up.
I've had it.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard of that. So like I was saying, I definitely don't do a great enough job with keeping up with the other podcasters in the city.
Well, pause this. Let's go to Nichols Hills real quick.
Yeah.
See if we can get them. They won't let us
in. I know where we live.
And
we know where they live,
Do we say anything to each other, to y'all?
No.
Oh, people think that I hate her.
Oh, no, you guys...
Oh, you're talking about on your pod?
Just in general.
In this moment, I mean, just up front when you were talking about when you first met, but...
Yeah.
I was looking at the analytics for our videos on TikTok and how people found us. One of the search terms was... podcast where one host hates the other, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's I don't think you guys come off as that at all. I think that's kind of a normal thing, especially in the world of like comedians, where it's like everybody's just you know, everybody thinks, I think all comedians hate each other because there's always talking shit on each other, you know?
That's fair.
It may or may not be true. But what I like about comedy is that doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you have the respect for each other, I think that's where it can be. But yeah, it doesn't matter if you like each other or not, and you can still make fun of each other, and it's accepted because it's comedy.
Well, do you find that in the community as well? Like, whenever I apologize for saying that. I keep saying you guys. It's just in my vernacular.
Oh,
yeah.
You're the one commenting on our TikTok lives. Yeah.
So look at these fellas.
I heard about that in the Christmas episode. You gotta have nothing to do. That's my thought. There's nothing better you can do with your time than go hate somebody.
More people. So
I appreciate what y'all are doing. Y'all, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to go back to my roots.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah.
I think it's something in the culture, or maybe you could tell me, where it's almost like testing someone. You go, hey, you're one of us. We're going to talk some shit on you. We talk shit on each other and have some fun and be a little rude and kind of, because you know you can take it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You've
been dealing with it your whole life.
Absolutely. Yeah. The biggest thing for like us, at least for myself, what I tell people all the time, I'm like, if I don't like you, I'll be nice.
Yeah.
I will be very nice to you. I'll be very nice. I'll be very cordial. Mm-hmm. If I know you and if I love you, you'll never know. You'll second guess it all the time. And then she can tell you. Are we friends now? Like, no.
Y'all, behind closed doors, the thing she says to me, just evil. Evil.
Even on the live, you don't say it on the live, you'll wait.
I'll wait. Yeah,
laptop.
No hard copies at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll try to set me up in a trap in a text message. I'm like, that's nice.
MJ has a wonderful, reputation as being just a kind queen. But that's because she won't talk shit on text.
Yeah.
She'll call you and she'll just say hateful things. Really. Get her in person and say, okay, girl, now we can talk about it.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, since the update on the iPhone, you can record conversations, so just be careful. I stopped saying crazy shit on the phone, too.
I knew it.
I texted her something. I said, girl, guess who hit me up to be in the show? And she said, oh, wow. And then... then I see her in person and we probably talk about it.
Yeah. I do want to ask you about producing shows and putting your shows together. What do you do when you walk into a venue, and what do you look for?
I like a vibe. I like a space to change, usually. Having logistically, will it work here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And obviously, a budget. Some people want to do drag shows, but they want to do it for as cheap as possible or for free.
For free.
And it's we can't operate like that. So
on average, how much do you usually ask for just to put the show on?
It depends, really. Some places you just, I there's a place in the city, in Norman I worked at, and I would do it for a percentage of bar sales. Mm-hmm. Just got to really like the space and I wanted to work with them. But some places, you know, you do Like a set fee
based off of like your entertainers and also the crowd.
Depending on how many people you're having.
Right, absolutely.
And your promotions, you put the money in for promoting. And
right, for it sure. It's like, okay, are we doing the promoting? Will you be doing the promoting? Mm-hmm. Also, sound is the biggest thing, shocker. And
having an actual sound person.
Yeah, and there have been many of times to where people like, oh, you didn't bring your own sound system?
Yeah.
And it's like,
even the system.
Oh, that would have been lovely to know ahead of time.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So you ask about that.
They did that to us at OSU. It wasn't with OSU. It was for like an on-campus organization. And they had us come do a show. And they went through me because I was going to school there. So I booked India because I take India everywhere. And I booked two other people. She hits me. And so we get there and they're like, so we're going to do a little bit of drag, right? Yeah. So we get there and they're like, okay, where are your speakers? And I said, I didn't bring any. We didn't plan on me providing sound. This is your venue. And so, well, I got a Bluetooth speaker in my car. And we're like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. You can just hear us click clacking and breathing heavy. Yeah. We ended up doing a questionnaire panel.
Yeah,
instead.
We did a panel. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was great. It was fun.
Work around it.
Yeah. I will say that was a great alternative, because I've also been on the other side of that, where I shown up, and this was actually at OU, and they were like, oh, you're going to perform in the common areas of one of the housing buildings. I was like, okay, cool. So get there. Everything's nice. They have a huge setup for us, and there's like snacks and drinks and all things like that. And they're like, all right, it's about time for like me to perform, and another entertainer comes back, and she was like, "Mama, it was Boots," and I was like, "Oh God, are they not tipping?" She was like, "No, they're tipping." She was like, "But you can hear everything," and I was like, "Okay, I don't think I'm gonna like that." And I go out, and I'm trying to hear my song, and I was like, "Oh, can you guys turn up the speaker?" And they're like, "It's playing." And so I walk out, and they just have it playing from a laptop. In this big, huge venue. So I'm just like walking around, and everyone's like, "You're so pretty." And I can hear myself, "Thank you." Thank you. I can hear the crumple of the dollar as I grab it. And I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah. All performers have the hell gigs.
Yeah.
No one is, going to get away from that.
Everybody goes through their cringe moment.
Yeah.
You have to do it. You got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
But drag, a lot with drag is ambiance and like feeling. Like you have to,
for sure,
the space has to be there, the lights, the sound, it just has to add to it, or if not, it's, I think I'm just doing a jig to a,
it feels
a Nicki song.
yeah
especially like in a college, like you said, I mean, it's just like, that's gotta be, feel very out of place.
In a common area, which is pretty open.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could hear people getting their drinks.
People just coming in, you know.
What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, the foosball table. I'm like, okay.
Still playing pool.
I'm like, okay.
What's one of your favorite venues to perform at? Like, just anywhere? Or maybe a memorable?
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions, hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
One that you've done.
Mine?
Yeah.
I would say Rip to College Bar, honestly.
Put my hand down.
College Bar is a bar that we would host Boom Roasted.
Okay.
So we did it at two different bars. Stillwater.
Sorry,
So we did it at two bars. Mm-hmm. We did it at College Bar, and then it was Stonewall, which is now New Bar. College Bar now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So
they combine.
Yeah,
they combine both
of the bars into
that's
one.
Awesome.
But yeah, no, College Bar was it got wild.
Mm-hmm.
It was
for
yeah.
a second,
especially in Stillwater. I've never really been to Stillwater. I mean, obviously, I've probably been to it, but I've never spent time there. Mm-hmm. And I imagine because I've always been thought about it as a performer. Like I'm always looking for venues to play music at, and it's like, but it's like there's probably not very many in Stillwater. Like places to go hang out at, right?
There
like bars.
Are a ton.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
are a ton.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
not for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
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 I mean,
yeah,
in general,
yeah,
right?
There used to, we used to go out in drag after the shows.
Yeah.
And just
we actually used to go before.
And before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
yeah.
before. Yeah,
but,
for
yeah.
sure.
It's not really
yeah.
safe anymore to do that.
But yeah, it being a college town, obviously, there's definitely people that want to do things there, so that makes sense.
There's a whole strip of
yeah.
10
okay.
bars or
cool.
so.
Yeah.
And the one College Bar was on the strip. So
mm-hmm.
it was always just wall to wall packed of just
right.
college
Absolutely.
Kids just
yeah.
there for a good time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So how do you, when you go to promote, how do you find these pockets of community to get to your shows? Who would be interested?
Good question. I think we try to collect from on our social medias, kind of collect
yes.
people from each show we're at
mm-hmm.
and kind of build our own little following.
Yeah.
So you're planning
or,
a scene, then you'll come back.
Yeah.
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 yeah. Or sometimes, you know, you meet a whole new community at a new venue who are just loyal to that venue.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think any part of putting on a show, the difficult part is getting people there.
Oh,
yeah.
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 And then
oh,
getting
absolutely.
People to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
In a place like Oklahoma, I mean, that's kind of a difficult thing to do either way,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're, I mean, surrounded by people who are really interested, ultimately. So when you go to, like, say, do you do paid ads on Facebook or do you just go to groups? or
I usually just post about it.
Yeah.
Because in Stillwater, we have our own. I have my own, you know, following. Who people? Mm-hmm. They just come every month. They just know. They know we're at the third weekend of every single month.
It's like you don't have to try too hard anymore.
Right. You don't have to post about it at all. They'll just know what it is. Yeah. I'll still post, but you wouldn't have to.
You don't have to
here
pay.
In the city. Do y'all do targeted ads?
Sometimes it does help to do the paid advertisements because it outsources your flyer, your ad outside of your friend group.
Yeah.
The best way to do it is just to be annoying about it and just plant seeds anywhere and everywhere as much as you can, whether it be, you know, all social media or leaving flyers just around from bar to bar, because, you know, you never know who might pick it up and be like, oh, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then even going to more, like, for us, queer-friendly places like the Plaza District or something like that. I'm like, hey, can we post this flyer here? And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then that gets you a whole new crowd of people because they probably don't know what's going on outside of that, you know, that
their
area.
Place,
So, yeah, it's a lot, but sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't, but it's worth it, I mean, honestly.
Sometimes the girls act a fool.
Sometimes they do.
You're on a show, booked on a show, and they're like, you need to post more.
Oh,
are you going to come to my house and choke me? They pay
No, absolutely.
Yeah. You need to post about it. You're not posting about it every single day. You pay me $25. No.
Yeah.
I'm social media manager. For
Absolutely.
But then when they're on your show, you're not going
to
go post
that. But most bars kind of like expect that. They're like, okay, cool. You are supposed to be promoting. Yeah. And it's like, you need to bring people to my bar. And so they kind of like get a little iffy on it when it's like not doing so great, I guess, because they're expecting you to. I mean, now that, because drag is so saturated, anytime that the word, you know, drag show, drag brunch or whatever, people are just automatically going to assume there's going to be a wave of people to come in. And sometimes that is the case, but also sometimes it's not. And then it just like puts a bad taste.
Well, it takes a while to build an audience.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say about 2 to 3 months. The first month is planting the seeds.
Yeah.
The other one is trying to hopefully keep being consistent.
I really
like that, the guerrilla aspect of just going out and finding your place.
Doing that's something we used to be back, you know, when we played music 20 years ago almost. We would do the flyers and go and print flyers and go hand out flyers, put posters everywhere, and like you're saying, different bars. And it's like, obviously, nobody does that anymore, very rarely.
Right.
I mean, but I think it still works. I think that's still one of the things that you can do. That's obviously, you got to pay for the printing or whatever, but that's not that much. I mean, you know, if you can get a big stack of flyers and you actually go and get rid of them all, then it's probably worth it.
Yes, absolutely.
My thing was, I'd print them and then not actually hand them out or whatever. Then you're just wasting money.
So. I love what I try to do is go talk to someone there, especially an employee. I feel like employees care, or if you can get the employees on your side versus the owner, because the owner hears it all the time.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Sure,
But if you can get up there and ask them, hey, do you think you'd be interested in this? Do you think anybody here would be? You know your customers better than your owner does.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they do. They're in their faces. The owner's like, oh, let me count this money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you get to them and ask them what their demographics are and what you're working with, a lot of the time you can come to the owner with kind of equipped with some information and then make yourself memorable.
Right.
And then, hey, can I put this up? Can I put some down here? Do you think you'll talk about it? Hey, can you tag us on your stories when I tag you?
Yeah.
Like little things like that where it's, I think the flyers are important for getting in the door and just talking to people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that, just because like back in the day when we first started Boom Roasted, we would do what they call street walking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would show up early and, you know, full geesh, and then be like, all right, let's go walk the strip. And we would go, and we knew, like, we took advantage of people gawking at us. And so we would walk from bar to bar, literally walking in, either taking a shot or just hanging out, meeting the employees or meeting people, be like, hey, there's a drag show going on. Because we knew that people didn't know. And we knew that they weren't our target audience, but they were an audience in general. And they knew, we also knew that they weren't going to see our flyers if we were to share them on social media.
Right.
So that in itself was like a very huge, I guess, factor into like making College Bar as big as what it is, just because
at first it was very slow, but then once we got all the employees on the strip involved, we were getting tagged when we would go out after the bar, after the show, or they would be telling people, hey, if you need something to do, there's a drag show right up the street. And then they would just send people our way, and then it would just be wall-to-wall, standing room only, and then it just worked.
Nice.
It just worked, so yeah.
So the character and being outgoing lends very well to that aspect, right?
Would you
normally be like that? Do you think?
I don't.
Are you very outgoing without having to do a show?
I am, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, but Indy's always in drag. I go to her job sometimes and I see she's wearing a wizard sleeve.
Yeah. My little bell sleeves.
A Skechers shape up and a wizard sleeve cape.
Stoned, obviously. Stoned.
It's feeling good.
I'm a ham anytime, but I'm not going to come get you in my, be as I guess, forceful, as confident.
I think it's something that's interesting that made me think about that. Obviously, you're going out dressed in drag, so like you're saying, people just look at you and see you. But I think that could work for anyone, even if you're just a comedian. As long as if you're wearing something outrageous of any type, people are, like you said, people are going to be like, what's this person's deal? Right. And then that's how you get in. It's
that
like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's also how you find your ilk.
I think that's a good tip, I think, for someone.
I can attest to it. I was at we were there at that roast show, and there was a man with the biggest thermos I ever saw.
Okay.
And you know what I did? I focused on the man with the big thermos.
Yeah.
And I guess he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Turns out. Oh, you're talking.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Ian Kennedy?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I couldn't possibly tell you, but I know he had a big thermos. If I saw his thermos, I could tell you.
Was this his thermos?
No, baby. He was this tall. Yeah. He was drinking from it. He's in a bar. I said, I don't think you can have that in here. He didn't like that very much.
Is that when you were up there? You roasted him a little bit?
No, I think he had already left by now. Okay. He didn't seem to vibe with my brand.
He does carry that bottle around. I don't know why.
What's in it? That'll be water.
It's water. He's very healthy. He goes under the moniker. He's funny. He's very funny. But he goes under the moniker of Big Dick. So it's
Say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And, it's a big thermos.
That's why I said it's a big thermos. Yeah.
You're a fan of that.
Yes, please. Absolutely.
Get him here.
Yeah.
We'll introduce you. The
thank you.
Let's see, picking venues, doing the live pods. The live pods is something I'm interested in, setting up a live pod and getting people out to it. Do you have venues that, I know I'm going to go to this at this venue because it's going to be received well. But do people get too rowdy? How do you control all that?
We've only done one so far. And we're hoping to get started after the first of the year, get back to our schedule. We did it at Angry Scotsman.
Mm-hmm.
A cute stage. We brought our own sound and everything, and for the most part, everybody was there. People who stuck around were there to listen to us, so they didn't. We didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they weren't being loud or whatever.
But even at a regular show, people get rowdy sometimes. Mm.
You gotta reel them back in.
How do you do that?
People's attention spans are getting short.
Yeah.
It's just moving on to the next thing. Because I'll do stand up, and if they're at a drag show, they enjoy the stand up portion of it, but also you can't do too much because then the drag's not happening, so I'm going to get a drink or something,
Right, absolutely.
So it's kind of giving them, and then also you can't have 8 people do drag in a row either. You've got to break it up and then just keep giving them new nuggets of things to latch onto because their attention is just so I guess with social media, it's just so short. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just giving them things to gawk at and enjoy,
yeah,
without dragging it on for, you know, far too long.
Well, and also like multiple things, like we, in terms of like shows and things like that, we try to book people that of different talents and niches.
Yeah.
Because if you book 10 dancing queens, then it's going to be the same. It's going to be very monotone, you know? Mm-hmm. Same thing as like if you book a show of all comedians, it's like if they're not doing different styles of comedy, yeah, then it just, everything is going to fall flat. Mm-hmm. And so, and then when you do that, we try to layer them in terms of like giving the audience breaks, mm-hmm, or, you know, something to look forward to, try things to like that.
Something for each. Yeah,
right.
Everyone.
Yeah. Try to put their fan favorite at yeah, the end. So that way they stick around, mm-hmm, a little bit longer for, you know, for the show, which in the end helps the bar make more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you pick your performers? So you have different talents, different things you can do to keep their attention. You're trying to move pace in the show,
mm-hmm,
because, I mean, it's kind of the environment that we're in. We have to do that in comedy, too. Mm-hmm. I feel like sets have to be shorter now.
Yeah.
Unless you're killer.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, you, I mean, they need that dopamine hit.
That I always hate that with comedy when they shine the light at you. As if I'm not up here just fucking killing it. Like, everybody else, you can give them the light.
I'm going to go ahead and take note of that now. but yeah, it's so, how do you pick your team?
People I like, people that I respect and that I enjoy what they do. Some people, you know, obviously sometimes I just book people who ask and give them chance, or people that, I've worked with before, but for the most part, like my core group of people, I want people that I respect, that I know work hard, mm-hmm, and that I value what they do. Mm-hmm.
So how do they bring the variety for you then?
I do comedy at all my shows. Mm-hmm. I host. I like that. If I never had to dance again, we're working towards it. We're getting there. I could just do comedy full time instead, mm-hmm, of having to do classical drag number. Mm-hmm. India does dance. That's how she entertains us through dance.
And you love it. That's your
way. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Although, unfortunately, I'm going to have to like start slowing down. I had an injury. So that was.
Oh, no.
I had a really bad sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. Like, it was. I was in a boot for like a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
And so, is my niche. Like, I even sometimes that outer body experience, sometimes I don't have any control over it. All right, well, we're here.
Is there any other?
This is my favorite part of the song. Yeah.
You gotta throw it back.
Yeah.
It's funny because I met a girl. I was in St. Louis doing a show, and I met a girl, and she was a new queen, and her name was Summer De Stallion. And she, so obviously themed after Megan The Stallion, uh-huh, which is. India, she loves Megan Thee Stallion song.
Yeah,
that's when I know Spirit a queen animal. At home that would just be your mama. She would just talk to you and just like mentor you. And then we were doing the show, and she goes out and's like, "I don't know about doing this song. I'm afraid I'm gonna go out there and shake too much ass." And I thought about if India Naomi heard you say "too much ass shaking," she would absolutely slap the hell out of you. There's never too much ass.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, was there any other performance that you've done or wanted to do, like comedy or music or anything like that? Besides drag and dance?
Me? Yeah. I've been getting a lot into theater.
Okay, yeah, like acting?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So one of the bars that I work at, we do dinner shows. Mm-hmm. And so I actually was fortunate enough to be cast in a few of those. One of them being Silence of the Lambs, a musical parody of, cool, you know, Hannibal Lecter and Silence of the Lambs. And then Jurassic Park, which was... Jurassic Park, but the dinosaurs were drag queens.
Yeah,
that's cool. So it was quite hilarious. Yeah, and awesome. I played a Triceratops. so yeah, it was pretty great. It was fun. Both of those were really fun. So I'm like starting to get into that.
Yeah,
sketch stuff. Because
we were talking about you did sketch comedy with our friends, the Martin Dupress, mm-hmm, that put on that. I loved that. Was such a great show. But that's like. Is that something you were interested in doing more of?
So I like improv. I did improv in high school and stuff, but I haven't picked it back up. But it was kind of, I've never done it in drag or in my adult life. So it was, mm-hmm, really outside of my comfort zone, outside of the scope of what I normally do. Mm-hmm. But it was actually really fun. Oh. It's hard to do it in drag because changing is just a little bit more difficult than, you know, throwing on a coat. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more layers to it. But it was really fun. I had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Would I do it again? Maybe. Who knows? Yeah.
What tips or a way in would you give someone who's just starting?
to do drag?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don't start. Yeah.
Don't. It's a it money pit. Like it is a money pit.
You just want to pay your mortgage? Don't do that.
Don't. You won't. Yeah, you won't.
There's always just one more way or one more pair of shoes.
Yeah. Oh, honestly.
It sounds like you don't want competition. That's what it sounds like.
Maybe where? Competition.
Yeah, where? Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
once
right.
again, we're the only ones that are doing this type of thing. Yeah.
Y'all stay tuned. All the content coming out all of a sudden.
Yeah.
No, I think it lends well to people just to play and have fun.
Mm-hmm. If you
wanted to do it for fun. Just
yes.
The hardest part is just jumping in,
just starting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where would you reach out? Where would you have them go?
Well, India does an open talent night on Monday.
I do. I host one at the park, and it's starting to be taken over by drag babies, which is fine and it's great, and I love that. However, it is an open talent that's just open to any sort of talent, like stand-up comics, musicians, dancers, whatever. We just invite everybody. It just happens that the best way to start or to be noticed in the drag world is to start at an open talent. Mm-hmm. And most times, open talent is where all of like the show hosts or the show directors will go and scope out.
Yeah.
It's like a fantasy league almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they'll go and they'll look and say, oh, okay, I like that person. I like their performance. I'm gonna reach out to them. Yeah.
I mean,
That's the best way.
Very similar to
the park. It's on the strip. It's on 39th Street. It used to be the Apothecary.
And before that,
it was called the park.
Yeah.
So,
I think
I've
been to it when it was the park many years ago.
Yeah. Which is great because like the owners now were regulars of the previous park.
Yeah.
And so they bought it and then reopened it. Yeah. To bring it back.
What time?
It normally starts at 10. Okay. That's also very true.
I'm like, well, it will start. She's at our studio in Norman. She'll leave, and I said, well, I guess I'm going to be late because she's got a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it starts when I get there, but I try to be.
It sounds like a very similar to stand-up comedy. I mean, you can't really start doing stand-up comedy unless you start going to an open mic and start doing it there. I mean,
right.
There's really no other alternative to get started with that.
It's that easy and hard.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is there any other open talent places where people could go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Frankie's does one on the first Tuesdays of every month. The Boom does one every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in the OKC Metro.
Yeah.
And then Sundays, Majestic, Club Majestic. Kind of has like an open talent thing on Sunday evenings.
So you could build an act.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Similar to stand up comedy, they go to the mics every week or multiple times a week to get better.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Because I guess similarly too, staying on that is like that's the only way to get better, right? Is to keep doing
it.
And you have to do it live. You can't really practice at home. I mean, you can't, you can probably work on some moves or whatever and practice with the song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably similar. I mean, because I always think about this with music is like, I can practice with a musician, you can practice in your bedroom or whatever, and get better. And then it is a little bit different, obviously, when you're on stage, but comedy, it's like you can't do that at all. You have to be on stage.
The energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same? Do you feel the same, too?
For
drag and performance in that way, the energy gives you more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you can do the same number two places in one place.
Yeah.
Could care if you lived or died.
Right.
The other place is living for it, and you really feed off of it. It just makes you feel better, and everybody's having a better time because of it.
Yeah.
But I've been places, and nobody's there. People are just there, not for the show. They're just there because it's open,
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Not to entertain you.
Right.
And they're like, their backs are turned or whatever, and like, they're just there to drink.
Yeah.
Or it's a bar that's they didn't know what was going on, but they just were there and then I got to finish the drinks so they can leave, I have a lot with straight bars. But you really need to have their audience is just as much a part of it as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Oh, absolutely.
If they're having fun, we have fun. If we're having fun, they're having fun.
Absolutely. There are plenty of times, and Robert would even tell you to where like sometimes at some of the venues, like the audience is just not giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, already changed my second set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to change it. Yeah, we got to switch it up because plan A is not working. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you do to get them? Is there a way that you try to reach out or at least see if you can get them to be a part?
Taking a certain
sometimes
song.
Physically grabbing them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a part of the game, too, is you're very physical in your performances. You're very interactive with the crowd.
Yeah, right. you can be, and also just kind of you have to be able to read the crowd, because sometimes it's like
some girls don't.
Some guys are like, I'm just here because my girlfriend dragged me. Please don't look at me, you know, that kind of thing. But it's just like reading and kind of testing the waters. Odds are, if I'm like making my way towards someone, and then they start to back up, I'm like, okay, I'll move on. I'll move on. I got you.
You got
heard.
That body
yeah, heard loud and clear. Yeah, absolutely.
And comedy, I think, is like that too. I think there's a lot of where you start messing with somebody, and you see them.
Yeah.
All right, not you.
I wanted to ask real quick, what is some of the similarities and differences or what between doing drag and doing stand-up comedy for you, and like what is there anything from one that you've learned and applied to the other?
For me, I think it's kind of the same, honestly.
Very similar.
I didn't do stand-up because I didn't think I could for a long time. It's just not something that I did. Then I realized I'm literally doing it every single time that I host my shows.
Talking to a microphone.
Yeah, I do an entire set after my number for everybody, you know. And I'm like, well, that's literally the same thing. It's just not pre-written. I do a lot of crowd work.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of stuff like that. So I was like, it's not different than me doing it with a structure. So then I did a show. My first show was like maybe a year and a half ago, my first stand-up show with Ray. Do y'all know Ray?
Yeah,
absolutely. I love her. She is great. I did a show her at a bar I was working at, Equity. And so it was my first time doing it, and I loved it. And I was like, this is literally just what I do at my shows, just without having to dance in between it. So I was hooked. And since then, I've been trying to, you know, put myself in the community as much as I can.
Yeah,
that's great.
What's your writing process? Just the crowd work? Do you write anything down?
For crowd work?
Well, no. I do want to get into the crowd work aspect. But how? Whenever you preconceive things where you bring it up to this stage, how are you writing it in that way?
Sometimes I wake up and I said, that was funny, girl. Mm-hmm. And I write it down in my notes. Mm-hmm. Or I'll make notes of things that I think of. And then I'll sit down and I'll put it in like a – I really like a story-esque where everything – flows into itself. It's not story stop, something irrelevant. I like to – you know,
connect
keep
them.
The weave, as a fascist would call it. So, yeah, I just really like, I sit down. Sometimes I'll download custom content on The Sims while I type, as you do. Because you gotta wait 10 seconds every time you download something.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the premium pass. And then I'll just write it down. I'll record it. Yeah, unfortunately, The Sims 4.
It's a solid game.
I have a basement.
The club.
You know the code. It's a basement full of men that I've trapped prisoner. But it's like an entire town.
Yeah.
They each have their own houses decorated like the outside. There's a club. There's a library. It's fun. They can't leave.
It's what you want in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best part. I made a lot of good families. But I love that. I love the writing process and then the crowd work. What do you look for when you're working somebody, or what's your material that you usually try to drive people to?
You know, sometimes I think I'm possessed.
Do you really?
By the devil himself. I just sometimes it just comes out of, you know, I kind of just trust myself. I go out there and I'm like, well, I guess I'm still talented, you know, I hope.
Yeah.
Because you go out there and
you just do what you do, and then see what people think of it, I guess.
I just rely on my instincts. And you know, I like to find people who are having fun and who look like they can handle it. And sometimes people can't handle it, and you just have to, well, okay, fuck you, move on, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's all fun. I really enjoy an older woman, because usually they're just there for a good time.
Oh,
and
always.
Just, like last night, we had a woman. She's on her 8th husband, and she was just there just kikiing and cutting up. And she handled it, and she was just really getting into it, and that really – helps, because everybody's laughing. She's laughing. We're laughing together. We're not laughing at you, you know. We're all laughing together at just funny situations. So I enjoy.
I love that. I feel the same way whenever I do, like you said, the trust thing. I think that's a big part of it. Once you've done it a few times, you go, I can do this. But it is going, let's go see. And yeah. then you get up there and it feels organic. It feels, and I do, this is my, I like to call it the muse. Mm. You pay honor, tribute to the muse all week by writing and taking care of what you're supposed to and treating people right. And then you get on stage and the muse goes, you did good. And then nice. Gives you the gift of being able to talk shit.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
Lord, are we blessed?
Yeah.
I was also to know your limits as well. Sometimes you can't. I was doing a show at OU. Oh. Another OU story. Yeah. and a girl, she was, I was there early. I like to be there early. Mm-hmm. She was like 30 minutes late. She rolled up, not ready.
Oh,
and she's not going to hear this because she don't have social media, probably. Probably banned. But she rolled up. She also moved away. She got here. She got there 30 minutes late. She wasn't ready. And she's like, okay, well, we'll start soon. I'm like, well, girl, what are you doing? And then she's like, well, can you go? And she goes out there unready and is like, hey, everybody, we're going to start in like 15 minutes, you know, because she's still got to get ready. So that's like 45 minutes after the scheduled start time. So then she's like, well, still not ready after 15 minutes. And then she said, well, Olivia, can you go out there and, like, you know, banter and host? At that point, no, mama, I cannot. There is nothing that I can. Yeah. I said, there's nothing I can do that will save the situation. I'll go out there and joke with them after you go out there and apologize.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
Guys, but there is nothing that I could have done to go out there and alleviate the tension of being 45 minutes late to this gig you're just sitting in an auditorium waiting for. And that's just knowing your limits, because, like, then it's just awkward, you know.
Well, I've been to comedy shows where they made people wait for that same amount of time, and it will completely kill a show.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because they're like, I'm trying to go eat.
Yeah.
Hungry people are mad people. I like that. I like that you were like, I'm not sacrificing my artistry so you can.
Oh,
because you were late. Because
I would have been on time and they would have been eating it up. And then they did eat it up once you went out there and they realized, oh, you're the fool. Then I go out there and said hello, and then I did what I do best, which is entertain them.
Yeah.
But y'all know whose fault it is. It's not mine.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that. Yeah. I like that. So doing drag, what are some of the difficulties? And when did you guys start again? Sorry. When did y'all?
A little over 4 years.
Four
or 5 years.
How has it changed? Is it more accepted now?
It's mainstream, definitely.
Yeah.
Is it Drag Race? Has really
the show,
mainstream.
Right, yeah.
Very saturated. Yeah. It's not underground.
What do you mean by saturated? Is there too many
a lot of people
not in positions?
There's a lot of drag queens.
Yeah.
There are a lot of performers. They used to be like, you know, few and far between. Mm-hmm. They used to have like
people used to have shame.
Yeah. No, very that. Very that. I was like the best I say all the time the one thing that we need in the drag community is birth control. There's so many queens just adopting little, like, you know, queer kids and being like, put this wig on. I'm like, don't. Just let them live. Please just let them live. So, yeah, it is, like, very, like, saturated. And, you know, Drag Race did have something to do with that. It wasn't like, you know, Drag Race invented it. It was just, it, you know, brought awareness to it. And now I like to also blame, you know, middle-aged white women be like, that's so sickening. That looks so good. And then, you know, they just adopting it and loving it and then pouring into it, which is great.
Yeah.
But now everybody and their mom wants to be a drag queen.
Yeah, I think something about that show, I'm sure what happened was, like, it showed a lot of young queer kids around the world or around the
Absolutely.
United States that you can do this. Like, oh, I can do that too, because you see it. And
yeah.
Like, whereas they may have never even seen a drag show or gotten close to one.
Right. Absolutely.
On where you grow up.
It also changes your expectations a lot. Because they watch the show and they see these girls spend thousands of dollars to be on this show for TV. And they come to the gig and they're like, well, why aren't you wearing, you know, a headpiece? Yeah,
right, absolutely.
Or, why aren't you changing your wig every single number? Yeah. I do, yeah. But some girls don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so they kind of change the expectation. They're expecting more than you could ever possibly get for $50 bar tab.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah, they're expecting Drag Race Live, which has, like, all the pyrotechnics, the backup dancers, the you know, the fancy costumes, the big huge feathers, you know, pink flying around the, you know, the stadium. But it's like,
but the goal is one day. Right?
Yeah,
the goal is one day to have that.
Absolutely,
absolutely, absolutely.
I was thinking that same thing, but it's like, does that even happen ever anywhere else? It's like, is there drag queens that put on shows like that anywhere?
Yes.
I guess.
Dallas.
Okay. Yeah.
Dallas. New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're like
big cities.
Yeah, they. Yeah, the big cities like they're Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas showgirls.
I was thinking about
crazy.
Vegas. Vegas is like, but that's a whole different world.
That's
I mean,
yeah. It, that's their own country. Yeah.
But every show there is like a big drag show, and this doesn't have anything to do with drag. It's just all, you know.
Yeah, it's all flash.
What is it? The show, the big. What is it called? The dancers and stuff like that.
So you think you can dance?
No,
a little Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, stuff like that. I can't think of what I was thinking of.
Paranormal Cirque too.
But all yeah, so it's all like that for sure, but. Yeah, so that's it. It's something to try to aim for.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
One day we'll get there.
Oh, yeah. We got plans. Yeah. We got big plans.
Yeah.
The problem is we got to get a budget first.
Yeah.
That's
TikTok
always
take
the
thing. Stop taking 50%.
Yeah.
Pyrotechnics.
Let me see here. We talked about...
I was kind of curious. I was going to jump into something about the podcast. Obviously, I've listened to a couple of episodes, but you've been doing it for a while now, right? Since August, or when did it start, the podcast?
Can I look over my shoulder? Hold on.
August.
Oh, yeah, August.
Yeah, August.
I'll cut that out.
A little while, because I was thinking, I didn't know if it was, like, newer than that, but, I mean, that's quite a while, and you do it every week.
It's super new.
But it's still, like, but to even keep it something going for... Most people will start a podcast and they do two episodes and that's it. So, but you guys do it every week, right? And it's been consistent since then.
And we never missed an upload day.
That's impressive for sure, because we've almost done that. I did miss one Friday of a release, but other than that. But I think that's a key to being successful is you have to be consistent to build that following and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But on the podcast, obviously, each episode, the show is called Queen Versus, so it's queen versus
something.
A subject, right?
Yeah.
So what have been like some of your favorite topics that you've covered, and then like what are some that you want to do, if you want to talk about any of that, like future ideas that you've had for the show?
I think our best, our most listened to was our one with it was about Ryan Walters. That's our most listened to.
Was that Oklahoma part two?
That was, yeah.
Okay, so I listened to the first one.
No, we did one specifically about Ryan Walters.
Yeah, we did.
Queen versus Trump's Goodest Boy.
Okay.
Yeah, Trump's Goodest Boy.
That's the one that's been downloaded the most. Mm-hmm. I want to do one about the service industry, but I have so much to say that I want to wait until it's like...
Yeah,
I want
so you have it all together.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
you
for
work
sure.
for the service industry.
I did for a long time. Mm-hmm. That was my first job was retail. Then I switched over to being a server, and I did that until recently. Mm-hmm. I was a pastry chef for a little while, so that was nice to get away from serving tables. But that's what I did for the most part. And you've done.
I've done all
everything.
Sorts of jobs. All sorts of jobs.
Because we used to not be. We didn't see each other as often as we do now. You know, every time I see her, she had a new hobby or a new gig or something.
Oh, absolutely.
She was an aerial artist for a little while.
Yeah.
And then she was she was doing real estate, and then she was a physical therapist.
I was an office assistant for a physical therapist.
She was touching people.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Absolutely.
Does that hurt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not there.
Yeah.
No. But.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So yeah, I was just curious. I love the idea of just having topics, especially from your perspective too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and like I said, no one's doing that. Or you said that no one else is doing that, especially from.
You can say it too. Sure, go ahead.
From a perspective, from y'all's perspective. So
right,
that's great.
How do you pick your topics? How do you pick what you're gonna do? How'd you pick Ryan Walters? It's just something that,
her blood boils anytime that
Ryan. I'm a people person. I can get along with the devil himself, but I hate that motherfucker.
He's not a Republican. Or anything about a Republican. She's like, let's do it. I have so much to say.
Well, it also just lends well to, you know, virality as well.
People absolutely.
Like things that are controversial.
Controversial.
People want to listen to it.
Especially with that, because I think that that's some place that people that are frustrated with his choices and all that stuff, it's like you want somewhere where to get that out, and it's like listening to y'all's episode helps alleviate that stress.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just me. Yeah, yeah, it's all these two crazy people.
Yeah, it's two lunatics and Norman.
It's two gentlemen. Yeah.
How do we pick our topics? Sometimes we just blurt stuff out until we find something.
Absolutely.
Do you, have like a list or kind of a short list or something that's like, oh, you're gonna hit these eventually? Like you said, the service industry.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we started off with one, and then it just like went so fast.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh
yeah,
okay, what are we doing next? Yeah, yeah. What are we gonna do next?
Sure. Especially doing it every week. They go pretty quick.
Right. And it's also like just trying to incorporate that, and it's like, okay, how can we make an episode out of this topic? Like, what are some things, some topics that we want to bring up? What are the subtopics? And we have to make sure that if we can create subtopics off of that, then okay, we can make that into an episode.
Yeah.
And rather than just being like, just like, you know, a single word, picking a single word, and be like, I don't know, let's wing it. So,
But you kind of have something you do go through a little bit, where the subtopics, like, these work for us. These are our interests.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she loves to make an outline. She loves to make an outline.
We'll open it when she gets there.
I will. Yeah. Absolutely. I will. Sometimes I'll do it before, but very rarely.
I highlighted the good parts for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I say, go ahead, add anything that you want. She says, well, it's good the way it is.
That's beautiful.
But also, we're just, like, on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that's probably what I was going to say, but okay.
Can we test something real quick? Do you know what I'm thinking of right now, India Naomi?
React.
No! Are you kidding me? Never mind. Cut that out.
Yeah.
We literally talked about this earlier. Sam's Bible crab legs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was second.
You embarrassed me in front of
that was second. That was second. I told her I got her a gift.
I'm so sorry you had to deal with that.
I know. That's okay. That's unprofessional. That's all right.
That is crazy.
So what's the long-term goal? What are you trying to build this into?
I want to do this. You know, I want to be able to do entertainment and people not look at us like we're crazy when we say that's what we do for a job.
Absolutely.
I'd love to. Just do it, you know, do the podcast, hopefully have a live that we can do sustainably that's not going to get banned in a few weeks.
Right,
Do your drag shows.
A two-woman show, take it on the road. That's what we keep talking about, a tour bus.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
To take what we do now and incorporate our talents and some dance and stuff. And
I would love to teach her an A count. I would love to teach her.
Many a time she has tried. She's choreographed every number I've ever done. I've lost every pageant I've been in. Okay.
Jesus. So. Yeah, a little shimmy.
I don't know if it's my dancing or her choreography, but we didn't win.
So you plan on, if you try to take it outside of the state or outside of the city at all?
Well, we haven't planned on it. We want to, but it's not like our,
that's,
you know.
Yeah, do you guys do shows anywhere else? You said Stillwater, Norman, Oklahoma City. Is that kind of the main?
We have a gig coming up in Indiana.
Oh, yes.
Coming up. We're traveling with a friend of ours.
Yes.
St. Louis. I have some friends that live there. I just did a week's worth of drag.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess it was a few months ago now. I did 6 shows in 5 days, which is fun. India was supposed to be there, but she couldn't get off work.
I could not.
So we had to go back and do it again.
Yeah. So, that. And then I've been to Dallas a few times. And so, Dallas and Houston. And Arkansas, actually.
Oh, yeah. Arkansas.
Arkansas. So,
It sounds like you're doing the job.
Yeah.
Please.
Gosh.
It was fun. The people there were so kind. I don't know if it was because I was new. You know, they didn't know me, but they were so kind to me. And I'm like, y'all, they don't get this in Oklahoma City. Because you walk into a dressing room and they say, oh, my God, girl, you're doing a great job. You look sickening. They would spit on me here. Are you kidding me?
Maybe that's when you go out and find different, like we said, different communities or different places. I mean, Oklahoma does keep you reserved in a big way. So
absolutely.
You get to go out. Try to humble you.
Yeah. Get to express in more free fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? You got anything else?
No, let's see. I guess. No, not really. I wanted to talk about the podcast, but we did that. So,
anything you guys can think of?
Yeah. Any questions for them, India? Cut or run? I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, please. No.
Yeah. Well, where can people find y'all online? You guys want to shout out your where to find the show? And
yeah, I've had
Instagram.
A little sign I've been holding up periodically.
Yeah.
At Queen Versus on all social media platforms.
Mm. Yes.
And India found out that we're on Amazon Music. So you didn't know that.
Oh, okay. I did not. Yeah. I was like, well, that's crazy.
You don't like the show. Yeah.
I listen every week. Every week. Mm-hmm. Every week.
Queen Versus on all your streaming platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Spotify.
And how is it spelled? Is it VS or is it spelled out?
The full word. Yeah, the full word.
And also at Queen Versus, literally on all social media as well.
Yes.
We have TikTok.
TikTok.
Literally everything.
We have Instagram.
We have a Twitch, but we don't use it.
Yeah,
but
we have a Twitch.
Go ahead and get on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, soon maybe.
And then
I like to play video games.
Oh,
Robert is a part. When I listened to the pod, the main thing I was questioning about is who is Robert?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hear it sounds like such a sweet guy. I want to
know. We'll have Robert on next week's episode.
Just be us again. The things that he would say. We're not going to be here for it.
Robert,
get this out of the way
Robert,
first.
I have a pair of eyelashes in the car. So, yeah.
He knows a secret.
Yeah.
We took India's eyelashes off on live last week. We had a goal. Of gifts, and they sent us enough gifts, and I took off both my lashes on
the rosas.
On
Yeah. So, whatever we can do to make it fun.
And then, the show comes out every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
What time does it launch?
I think we post
sometime
like 3 a.m.
Okay,
and
it's automatic.
Yeah, it's automatic, and then it just like it, by the time it fully uploads, it's like normally like around somewhere. It's always somewhere between 9 and 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always a good. That's whenever we put ours out, around midday. It's like, but no YouTube. That's what I was gonna ask. No, nothing.
Soon.
We're working on it.
We got a big bash coming up. We're working on funding for our second camera setup. So we're gonna have our full studio setup to do full length video content.
That's what I was thinking with Twitch. I mean, I know that something that I've thought about. And we will get to, I think, eventually, but YouTube and Twitch, you can integrate now, so you can go live on both at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, even if you don't want to focus on Twitch, you can still kick it over there, and people can watch there, too.
Right, at least watch it.
So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I just love YouTube, and that this type of, like, what we were talking about earlier, like, YouTube is just the way I watch TV now. It's like, you know, I love that it's, people are able to, you know, like it like this, we can create our own television show essentially, you know, and and broadcast it for no charge, you know.
So
people can find their community, be seen at the same time.
So
I'm a big fan of video games. I don't know
same,
same.
I remember you saying something on the Christmas episode about that.
Yes,
that you didn't even have a PS1. Because somebody had, or your dad or somebody had had it.
Oh, it was my dad's. Yeah, my dad had it. Yeah, my dad had it. And then we got a GameCube, and my youngest brother was not allowed to play it because he was young and he could break it. So, in a fit of rage, he broke it. And so I was like, okay, cool, great. But then we got an Xbox, and that was
upgrade.
Yeah, that was nice.
Sure. But, one day I would like to do some Twitch
streaming
where we just play games.
I want to. I've wanted to do that for many
scary.
Years.
That
you
play Overwatch?
Playing that Marvel Rivals is very similar. Yeah. Playing a little bit of that. I just hate getting beat by 8-year-old.
I've never been too super into like multiplayer stuff. I'm more of a single player.
I'm more of like an RPG.
RPG. Not a massively multi. I want it to be just Robert and I.
Minecraft.
He won't play Minecraft with me, unfortunately. So if y'all are out there, y'all want to join my Minecraft server.
Jump on. And maybe we can get something together. We join up.
That's,
we'll play.
Oh, absolutely.
Mario Party.
That's a good idea.
Like that.
Real absolutely. Stakes Mario Party.
We'll see who you really are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't like to lose.
Thank you so much for coming and talking
to
us. Of course.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Just want to let you know that Campbell and Sun Electric does pay for this whole thing, with the exception of Dave.
Wait.
And Dave. No, but Campbell Sun Electric is our sponsor. We'd love to have you give me a call, 405-306-6957. That goes directly to me or my wife. She does my scheduling. I haven't been home in years. Okay. So that's about it. Hunter's Honey. Be sure to hit up Hunter's Honey. He's the door guy at Bricktown Comedy Club. He also sells honey. He's a
Locally made honey.
Locally made honey.
Smile. He's a bee
shit. Here?
Yeah. Yeah. They're hibernating right now, so they're sleeping. Like said.
Got it.
But he's a super nice guy.
Wake him up.
Get to work.
That stings. He's a super nice guy, and it's all local, so you get all of the pollen and everything. Mm-hmm. And it helps you with your allergies.
Yeah.
It's helped my kids. It's helped me.
Now, is that in the gift basket y'all got us? Is that in the gift basket?
Did you get the...
Oh, no. Yeah, I didn't know.
We're glad you're here. But thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye forever.
Oh, yeah.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.